All right. Everybody good?
All right. We're good.
I'm good.
Okay.
It's a strange start.
Yeah, we're live. That's all that anybody needs to know. Matt, we forgot to tell you. Bando's got a long story with notes.
Okay. I do. Look at this. I got a page of notes.
Wow. That's really like one like word per line, though.
Well, yeah. It's not. I mean, it's not. I wasn't. Yeah. Well, yes.
It's like a cue card shortened right onto one page. Yeah.
It's right, like shortened version of a notes of an outline.
Right. I was going to have my kid come in and pay him to be my teleprompter and just slowly move it up in front of my eyes.
I'm looking forward to this story.
It'll right be a good story. I can finally have a good enterprise-y type story.
And I've got two, what's the best word to say it? ID10T stories about customers.
Oh, I could have 10 of those a day.
You know, if I was smart enough, I should have registered ID10T, the domain, a long time ago. And Chris Hardwick took it.
You could also register idiot.
Well, no, but I'd rather... Is that available?
I doubt it.
Idiot.com?
I think gullible.com is available.
Oh, I'm going to look that up. Gullible.
Sucker.
Oh, it's I could inquire about this domain. It's actually, it's parked. Oh, Somber Domains owns it. Oh, Sombrero's domain. It literally, this domain belongs to a client of Sombrero's Domain Management Service.
The Somber Sombrero.
Sombrero. Yeah. That's awesome. Olé.
All right. And Rainey, what do you got tonight?
I've got a story about my own computer that I had to redo. My own computer, my only office computer for me.
Your work office or your home office?
Work.
Okay.
Oh.
And if we had time, I have other stuff. Like we're testing some new phone systems, and I got some ID10T errors as well for people that I could go over if we have time.
All right. So let's get rolling.
I can go over those every show. I usually don't even worry about them because...
We should have the ID10T tip of the week. ID10T corner.
Will it be a tip, though?
Well, no, maybe the corner. That's what I thought, maybe the corner. ID10T corner.
Yeah? Okay.
Go sit in the ID10T corner.
And think about what you know nothing of.
Think about how you're not the computer person. When they sit down and say, you're a person, right? You can follow simple directions. Okay. All right.
Can we get a computer dunce cap that we can, have as a emblem that we can put somewhere? Make a,
like
do
a Snapchat filter?
Yeah, and take a do like a virtual customer picture and put the dunce cap on them, and we can post that.
But nobody would see it because it's all just...
We would see it.
Well... People would just hear us laughing.
They do that anyway.
But like, more laughing.
Okay. All right. So we need to get rolling here because somebody's got to leave early. So
my kids want to see me.
Or on time.
Well,
I guess. Right.
I came down last week and my wife goes, wow. I'm like, yeah, I know. That was it. Wow. That usually happens when I come down the stairs.
I don't usually see my family during the week. I mean, I see them at dinner because we eat dinner together. But that's it. 5-10 minutes. That's pretty much how much I see him during the week.
I see mine all the time. I can't say much. She's right next door. All day.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, to everyone listening, this is Podnuts Pro. We are on episode 97. And as you can tell, all three amigos are here this week. The Triple M threat is back in full effect. Rex in effect. I am your host, Marvin B. And I am joined by Martin Obando. How are you, sir?
Holla. Sorry, I had to just bring it back.
I was saving that to the end.
Oh, darn it.
You took it.
I'm sorry. I'm doing well. Still fighting my cold, but I'm doing okay.
All right, Mr. Orgastic Tea or whatever the beer was. Orgastic. I forgot it already.
Orgasmic.
Orgasmic beer.
There was orgasmic. And if you don't know what that is, you have to listen to last week's show.
Regardless of what week this is for you. And right. Last is the man himself.
I air quoted last week. You air quoted. Last week was in air quotes. It's all right.
Because it could have been yesterday, depending on how the shows get released. So,
or how long we jib-jab.
Yeah. And Mr. Matt Rainey, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I am. How about I'm VPN-tastic. VPN-tastic? How's that? A lot of VPNs again this week.
Crickets.
And some of my ID10Ts or errors are related to that.
All right. But can you
Are you floratastic, since you can't be orgastic?
Floratastic.
Floratastic?
Sweatertastic? Because if I say floritastic, that sounds like a toothpaste. I don't know. But I can tell you what. I was telling Martin earlier, before you got on, that we were talking about, you know, winter and stuff. And so the wife asked me this morning if we could put away our winter stuff. And I had to laugh and say...
The slightly thicker t-shirt, you mean?
My one sweatshirt.
The vest.
Well, what's funny is I pulled the sweatshirt out last week, and I told you it didn't fit. So I didn't wear it, and I had to pull out another. I had ordered it was supposed to be a windbreaker for golf, but it's a little too thick to be a windbreaker when I play golf. So it just sits in the closet, and that has become my, well, technically it would be my second jacket, but I actually pulled that out and wore that for about 2 hours, and then by about 10 o'clock, it was time to take it off.
Well, maybe that sweatshirt will fit you next year. Maybe it'll get bigger in the closet over the next year.
No, I'm going to work out. That's my New Year's resolution for 2017. I'm going to lose 10 pounds.
I see. Have you started that yet? Because we're, you know, a good 5 weeks into 2017.
No, we haven't started yet.
Nothing moves fast in Florida.
I'm telling you, listen, you know, it was a brutal winter. You know, I couldn't go out. It was 55 degrees a couple weeks ago.
There were leaves moving on the ground. I could have tripped and hurt myself.
Nobody was at the beach? Come on. All right.
Dude, beach is shut down. So you know it's winter in Florida.
Actually, no, that doesn't, because all the northerners come down and they love the weather, so they'll go to the beach. There's no Floridians at the beach, but there's all types of Quebec people.
Yeah, because the Floridian people are working.
All right, so what do we have for this evening? Martin, you want to go first? I mean, you've missed a few weeks. You've got a nice story. You brought notes.
I do have notes. All right. So this call came in to me on
Thursday. Check your notes.
I had to hold on. I can't read my own writing. No, I wish it doesn't really matter. Anyways, the call came in to me late last week, end of last week. So Thursday or Friday, one of those days. What happened was it was passed down from another colleague kind of business that I have. So they work on bigger companies. So when they get a company that needs support that are too small for them, they kind of pass it on. This company has 9 people, 1 workstation, or so 9 people, 9 workstations, and a server. What happened was, is the word came down of we rebooted the server, or the server was rebooted somehow, and now nothing works. So I said, well, okay, I'll have to come down and definitely take a look at it. I had heard kind of again that the domain got deleted. So I'm like, well, this is kind of odd, but nobody can get online. Nothing works. They're down. So I go on site and, I was able to move them. I wasn't supposed to be able to get in there until today, yesterday, but I was able to move some stuff around, get in there on Friday. So went in there on Friday and sat down at the server, and it's in safe mode. I'm like, okay. They said, well, all we did was reboot the server. I said, okay. So I rebooted the server. It came back up in safe mode. Okay. Rebooted the server again. Oh no, it didn't reboot the server. Jumped into msconfig, unchecked the flag that always says boot to safe mode. Did that. Rebooted the server 2012 R2 in evaluation mode in the evaluation copy. So they had a full version, and then somewhere along the way, it rebooted and wiped everything out. domain gone. Just gone. So we now have a situation where client has 9 workstations and no domain controller at all. Nothing. And it's an evaluation copy.
So I don't think a reboot did all that. I think we're not getting the whole story.
Right. So two things either happened. A reboot caused something to roll it back, or they never really licensed it, and after so much time, it rolled back to evaluation copy or reset itself or something. We never did really know what caused it. All I know is I walk in and their domain is now in evaluation mode and they have no domain controller. It's reverted back to itself. It has a windows.old file in there with some old data in it, and all of their data is still on the drive. But domain-wise, it's gone.
So this is easy. You just tell them, let's pull out your paperwork, we'll show me your licenses, and then we'll restore your, we'll get a license, and then we'll restore your backup. So where are your backups? It should be pretty easy.
Yeah, it should be pretty easy. To ID10T Corner, the tech guy that used to be there, and used to, because I'm now new the tech, I'm the new tech guy, they called him, and he's pretty much said, not my problem. Call somebody else. Apparently, he was supposed to do some kind of backup, never was really doing any backup, so they had nothing. They had nothing. Their data backup was swapping Western Digital hard drives and taking one home every night.
So where did they get the software from? They should have some record of purchasing this software to reactivate it.
Right. So that's the next step. Sorry, Marvin, you were going to say something?
Well, I was going to ask, what Western Digital hard drives were they swapping?
They were just the external.
Oh, external. Okay, because you didn't say external.
No, sorry. Yes, USB external hard drives.
And where was the tech at the time of the server reboot?
He wasn't on site.
But was he remote?
Oh, I don't know. But no response from him. So I don't know if he caused it or what happened. But so I say, okay, so I need your software licensing so we can get going on this. So they bring out an email, and an email has the key in the email. Because they bought it from a company called My Choice Software. So
I've heard of them.
So they bought the Dell server without any licensing. They then went through this company, third-party company, to buy the license. So in the email, pretty much says, put the key in. If it doesn't work, do these next steps. And the next steps are the DISM /online set edition server standard, you know, product key. Kind of a long string of command, and it'll be in the notes, of what to do. So I put the key in, it doesn't work. I put that in, and it doesn't work. I call them, and they say, well, so what you're going to want to do, are you getting the prompt at all to use the telephone system? I'm like, no. So here's what you're going to want to do. So they give me the SLMGR-IPK, and then the key, right? Have you heard of that? And then that brings up the telephone prompt system like you do on your desktop. I put the key in, it doesn't work. I call Microsoft. I give them the key. And they said, oh, yeah, that key's not valid anymore.
Anymore.
Right. So I call My Choice Software and they said, oh, yeah, that's an OEM key. I think you can only use it once. Like, the problem is that we had it registered apparently, and now it's not. So I run through the command line again, step by step, to make sure, and this time it works. So now we have a licensed Server 2012 standard R2 box. I rebuild the domain. I get DHCP and DNS up and running. This is Friday. They're up and running, they're up and running. Everything's good. Just that part. At least they can get online. Because when I called the lady back originally the first time, she said, well, I'm at Best Buy right now and I'm going to buy some hardware so I can get at least we can get online. I'm like, no, let's not do that. Just wait till I get in. So I get in and this company has 2 Comcast cable modems. One, they both go to a Juniper switch, which is controlled by the telco company. And one, apparently part of it is for VoIP phones and the other part is for data. And so what they've done is they've taken a lot of computers and they've just like unplugged them from the wall, from the patch panel, and they plugged them into the Comcast box. And the people who are doing this have no idea what they're doing. They just think, well, this is what we should do, right? I'm like, no, let's put everything back. So we put everything back. They're up and running on Friday. So I tell them, you know, this is not going to be cheap to get you back up and running. And they say, well, we understand. So Sunday I come in during the Super Bowl. I just leave right after or right during the Super Bowl, and I go in to set up the stuff. So I told them Friday, do not log off your computers. Just let them be, because they already have cache credentials. So just let them be on. Apparently there's a group policy that locks them out. So when I got there on Sunday, all the computers had been locked. So the problem you run into is all of these computers are Windows 10 Pro machines, and by default, Windows 10 Pro disables the local administrator account. So how do I fix this? So I get the domain up and running. In episode 92, you guys had talked about the different, it was the first one I missed, the different ways you use for bypassing codes or bypassing credentials to get in.
Resetting the passwords.
Yeah. Conboot is one that I had been using for a while. Conboot comes on a CD or a DVD. Nope, USB. There it is. You boot in a workstation. You'd boot through Conboot. It would go to the default or the, you know, maybe if it was mine. The password just is gone. You just click it and it bypasses the password. Now you're into the profile by using Conboot. On a domain, it doesn't do that. So Conboot into the machine. I hit shift 5 times. That brings up administrative console. And from there, I can do the net user administrator / active yes. Except when you do that, you have to give it a password. So that took me a minute to realize that. So I had to go through every machine and do that on every, you know, to then allow me to have the administrator account locally. Then I was able to log in locally, join to the domain, then use a program called User Profile Wizard from Forens IT that I've used before. And then you can select the old profile and the new profile and say run, and it'll copy all of the data over the settings and everything from the old profile to the new profile. So now we have multiple profiles, because months ago, before this tech came on, they had another box. And I looked down, I said, well, what's that server? And they said, oh, that's our old 2008 server. I said, what was wrong with it? They said there were some redirects, and the gentleman before you didn't know how to fix it. So what he did is he decided to just buy a new 2012 server and start the domain all over again. So this is their third domain in 9 months, second domain in 45 days. So I went in there Monday to just check in on them, and they were very happy, pleased. Everything's working well. Today I went back. We had to get some more printers and stuff put on the network. And so with this, I'm able to, you know, I had to reset all of their, they had an Ingenious access point. Nobody knew the password to get into that. They had some other Western Digital drive on the NAS network. Nobody knew the password to that. We had to redo all their wireless, put all their printers back into a kind of some organization, because they didn't have anything. Everything was just running off DHCP. So it was a bit of a mess.
So I hope you document all this new stuff with your informedit.net forms, right?
I will. I will be using those to document all of them. So so a couple of things that I realized, kind of the lessons learned from this whole process was, don't be that IT guy. Their IT guy just bailed, really. He said, not my problem. I'm not going to handle it, and left. Just left them high and dry. Didn't give them usernames, passwords. They didn't have any documentation.
So why did he leave?
I have no idea.
Did they offer any explanation as why he wasn't their IT person anymore?
He didn't respond back to any of their, they've called him, no response. They've emailed him and no response.
So the client didn't have any idea why he wasn't going to work for them anymore.
No.
Was he the one that purchased that stuff for them?
Yes.
So just a sidebar, the My Choice software, I'm suspecting that one of the reasons that license no longer works is they were one of the companies that Microsoft went on a rampage in 2015, 2016 of all those internet gray market vendors. And they have been able to successfully invalidate a lot of licenses. So even if you purchased them and they activated at the time, they either would stop working, or if it was a license like, for instance, I know a company that bought a bunch of the Office 2010, 2013 licenses. And at the time, they would buy them in batches of 25 or 50. And the first few would work. And then after a certain date, the rest of them just stopped working. They could not activate any of the additional keys.
So do you think there's a possibility that come in the future that Microsoft may deactivate this key again?
Well, did you get it from the same place?
Yeah, that we just use the same key.
Oh, the same key?
Yeah.
I think that probably right now, if you got it activated, or it'll probably stay as long as...
You don't reboot.
You don't reboot, yeah.
But when it's time for their new domain next month,
right?
You might have a problem.
Right. I asked them about CALS, and they deer in the headlights.
They say, did you say cows?
I know. Like, yeah. So we have to get those. So there, I have a feeling their IT guy, air quotes, didn't know. I think he got himself too deep and then just bailed or didn't know what he was doing. But that was one of my things was, you know, ordering stuff through a third party is probably not the best bet. You know, if you're going to buy a Dell server, get your license, get everything right there.
Yeah, if you get it from Dell, they're going to have a record of it. It's going to be easy to go back and retrieve it. You know it's going to work.
Right.
So when, now, that command for the, that you said the command prompt, that you're talking about the slui.exe space 3? That's the command that you use to bring up the window to pop in the type of
No, it's slmgr, then space -ipk, and then you can put the serial, then you put your key in. And that'll bring up the validation code where you call Microsoft and you type in the six or seven digit codes, and they give you the codes back that you put in to validate. You should see a lot on like Windows 7.
Okay.
So that didn't work, and ended up having to go back to use the DISM online. Have you guys seen that before? So you
no.
Okay.
What is it?
So you type in, and it's long. It's DISM /frontslash/online /set -edition: this is server standard /product key, then you put your product key in /accept EULA and then enter, and that behind the scenes will register it. Then your computer reboots a couple times and then it registers and then the key's registered.
That sounds like a show note.
It's in the show notes.
Sure. Yeah, I'm playing with that SLMGR command. You can do different switches.
Yeah, I've seen those. I've used the DISM once for something, but I've never had a server reboot and
right
domain get lost or, you know, I always do HP computers, so I don't have any licensing issues there, so I haven't had to deal with that, but.
Right. Well, because I asked them, do you have your media? And they said, oh, it's right there. And I'm like, no, that's a thumb drive. They said, yeah, that's what they sent us. So my software choice sent them a USB drive with the evaluation copy of Server 2012 standard on it. You install 2012 Server standard evaluation copy, and then you use their key to make it a full version.
Well, they must have paid a pretty hefty price because usually it's just a software download. They had to pay extra for that USB.
So we're, and they said, well, can't we just roll back, you know, where's our backup? I'm like, where is your backup? They said, well, the guy said he was backing stuff up. I'm like, okay, I don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows. I'm like, okay. So once this is all up and running, we're going to get server backup running. We have, you know, we're getting their data being backed up off site right now. We'll get the server backups. We got to get cals. We got, you know, they're just... The whole time I was there, every time I turned the corner, it just felt a little sketchier and a little sketchier and a little sketchier. So we need to get them back running. But that was my busy Friday and Sunday, and then, you know, I've spent about 10 hours there getting everything back up and running.
I like this SLMGR command. I'm testing it. SLMGR /DLV. It displays detailed license information. Yeah. So mine tells me partial product key, remaining Windows rearm count 4. So apparently I can
reboot
the same
four times.
Key 4 times. Trusted time. Installation ID. You know, long number you give Microsoft. You can pull up the installation ID. I got my activation ID. There's all kind of commands in this. That's pretty neat to play with. But the slui.exe /3 is where you can go just bring it up to type in the key code if you have one. This is okay. Pretty neat. This will lead into, I was going to bring it up later, but we got an email, and I'll just bring it up now because we're unscripted, from Jason, and it'll be in the show note, and it was sent just to me. Sorry, Eminem. It is a mobile connect where you click on this link. It's a big, long link. We'll put in the show note. You can do it from your phone. You can do it from... I'm doing it from Windows, and it works. And you can activate Windows here instead of calling. Since a calling is not there, you can just type in your installation ID, and you know, this might be helpful. It's pretty neat. If you need to activate Windows and the phone doesn't work.
Will it work on Office 2016 that you can't call in for?
Well, if I go to the link, it just, let me see what it says. It says self-service. Welcome to Microsoft Product Activation. To begin, please tell us how many digits are in the first block of the installation ID shown.
That's the, yeah, that's their mobile one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you call, I know, I do that all the time. If you call Windows, if you call like to activate Windows, they'll say, oh, I see you're calling from mobile phone. Would you like the link to do it yourself? And I say, yes. And then.
Okay. Yeah, I've done that before too. That's right. Yeah.
That's, so that's what that is. And I like that. I tried that with the server and it didn't work. It said, meh. Then I called, that's when I called Microsoft and they said, yeah, it's not a valid key. And I went, oh no.
That's true. You said, now that you said that, I have done that. We'll put in the show note because it is pretty neat.
Well, I've never kept the, you know, I've always deleted that text because I'm like, I kind of assumed it was not the same URL. I kind of assumed it was a revolving URL, so I never kept it. But if it's the same URL.
I clicked on like 5 times and it comes up each time.
Oh, sweet.
All right. So ladies and gentlemen, or I should say gentlemen, don't be that guy. And ladies, don't be that gal.
Or guy, however you identify.
Oh, that's right. It is a new world. If you are transgender, don't be that.
That trans? I mean, what's the term there?
I think he was just going to stop at that.
Well, yeah, because isn't it always awkward? You don't know.
However
you
identify,
I'm not sure. Don't be that.
We just lost 2 of our 3 listeners, maybe.
Don't be that non-gender specific IT person.
Don't be Pat. From Saturday Night Live.
All right. And so that was good. That's Martin, I like those kind of messes when I walk into them. I think those are fun jobs.
They're money makers.
Oh, they totally are. Like I said, I told her, this is not going to be cheap. She says, I know. I said, okay. So.
And you get to be the hero.
And I get to be the hero.
For nine months.
Right. For another 45
for days
until the server reboots again. I'm the hero.
But now you know how to. Now you can do a new domain and yeah.
Well, yeah. Except that every time I have to do a new domain, I have to do new profiles, and now there's like you know 3 different Tiffany's on one computer because it's Tiffany, Tiffany dot domain, Tiffany dot domain dot 000. Because every time you do a new domain, it creates a new user profile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Delete the old ones.
Yeah. But I mean, but now they're you know.
But do a fabs and copy the old domain over the old profile.
Right, well, that's that. Oh, I never thought about doing Fabs. Yeah. I just used the user profile wizard.
Fabs on a backup.
Fabs is actually Fabs is a little faster and cleaner. I used to use the user profile wizard. It was nice, but I like Fabs so much better now.
I didn't think about it for some reason.
I will. Next month.
Next time. There's always tomorrow.
It'd be really fun if they called you tomorrow, and they said, "Hey, I did it again."
So didn't even have time to get my backup in place because. We got to buy that and get it going. So I'm going to take the 2008 server, which is just sitting there doing nothing, and I'm going to wipe it or just clean it up, and then that is going to be a data server, and we're going to put images and stuff on that with all their data because all of their data is sitting on the C drive. Like all of their user profiles, not user profiles, but their shares, the multi-user QuickBooks and all that kind of stuff. They have a 2 terabyte C drive and a 2 gig D drive.
Are these single drives?
They're two drives
RAID
in a.
On them?
There's 2 drives in a RAID 10.
What?
You can't do RAID 10 with 2 drives.
When I run Open Manager on the thing, it says RAID 10.
It's not RAID
1.0. You can't see the dot.
It could be. And I've opened it up because I thought, I'll just put another drive in here. Oh, there's 2 drives.
It's got to be RAID 1.
It says 10, and so RAID 10 is the bits, it's striping like RAID 1, but it's also mirroring like RAID 0. So it's
both. You can't do that with just 2 drives.
Yeah, there's no way.
That may be why it's going like it's like, hey, that
you can either stripe or mirror with 2 drives.
RAID card.
One or the other. So here's my question, though. You're taking the 2008 server. How new or how old is that? Was that new 9 months ago? Like it's a new hardware server, but they put 2008 software on it?
I don't know. I haven't opened it. I haven't touched that box yet.
It's probably a server from 10 years ago that just tried to load a pirated 08 server license on it.
And that's probably RAID 6, right?
You can have a mess. You got to turn it on. I think your plan is going to go out the window.
So it's a Dell, and it says, somebody who says, in the same way that HP and Dell do single drive RAID 0, that with mirroring becomes two-disc RAID 10. It's just semantics. So I don't know. But it actually is only two disks. There's two physical drives in there, and it says RAID 10 on OpenManage.
And how big are the drives? Did you look and see?
I'm going to guess they're probably 2 terabyte drives. Or about 2 terabyte, maybe 3 terabyte drives. Anyway, it's set up wrong. They have
just got one mirror partition with two different partitions.
Oh, potentially.
Well, no, because you said the D was how much?
So if you look at the, gosh, how would they have it? If you look at the drive itself, like the disk manager.
Are you looking at this in disk management, or are you looking at some kind of RAID management?
Well, I looked in the RAID, and it said RAID 10, but then I looked in the disk management, and the C drive is 2 terabytes, and the D drive is 2 gigs, or 20 gigs. 20 gigs. And then the OS drive is 2, but only thing on the 20 gig drive is is basically a copy of the USB key with the Server 2012 on it, and there is the name of the company folder in the root of C, and inside of that has all of their folders and files and QuickBooks and all of that stuff in the root of C.
That's a little fishy.
So I need to start moving some data around, and then I'm hoping that maybe someday I'll meet this IT guy and take him out for coffee and ask him, what in tarnation?
No, you're going to say coffee is for closers. And you are not my friend.
I'm going to buy him coffee. I'm going to throw it on the ground. I'm going to say, go to the ID10T quarter. And you think about what you've done.
He's like, they worked fine when I supported them. I don't know what you did.
Yeah, exactly. Bang my head against the wall. Anyways, that's my story. My notes are done. It's in the garbage already.
You feel it on the ground?
What? Wait, you guys can't just laugh at me and say something mumbled that I can't hear. I either heard you feeling around or you feeling the rum or something like that.
Threw it on the ground?
Oh. I lightly placed gently in the garbage. As to make not crinkling noises and ruin the audio of our podcast.
So, I'll go with my little story. And it's at my own office computer. I got this computer after the flood. You know, we had a big flood down here a few months back. I got this computer, HP ZBook, something or other. Got it with Windows 7. I did not have my dock in place yet, but I just used it with a couple of monitors. Windows 7 worked fine. I thought, you know what, let me upgrade to Windows 10 while I still can to get the license. Got the license and stayed on Windows 10 up until yesterday. But what I've been having is, all of a sudden, the CPU usage would jump to 100%. And it would stay that way and there's nothing running. And you go to resource monitor and task manager. Nothing changes. It just seems like the disk becomes not responsive. So it goes up to 100% disk utilization. And it stays away for 30 seconds to a minute. And then it goes back to normal. And then I can use it for a few hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, some length of time. And then it happens again. And I'm trying to work, and the mouse is all of a sudden, you know, does the whole I'm not moving thing, and I got to wait. So I'm like, that's annoying. And I found that there is an issue with this model SSD drive. I'm sorry. I don't have an SSD drive. I think it's an M2 drive, M.2 drive.
Well, I mean, technically, it's still considered in the SSD family.
Yeah. So with that drive and with this notebook running Windows 10, there is apparently some known issue with the hard drive utilization. You upgrade the firmware, upgrade everything, the BIOS, firmware for the drive, everything, and it still does it. So like, okay, I can deal with it because it only happens a few times a day and it's annoying. But the same thing that happened with this Windows 10 computer happened with my first Windows 10 computer, which is why I went back to Windows 7 a year ago. And that is, programs just stop responding. Not respond. They won't open. You try to open calculator app. Nothing will happen. It's like me telling my kids to do something. Nothing happens. There's no movement, right? I know the kids still work. I know calculator works. It just doesn't work. It doesn't open. And then I start with the calculator this time. Then I try to open WatchGuard System Manager. Nothing. And this is after days. So I'll reboot. forget about the calculator. I go to use a calculator and it doesn't work. I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't work anymore. Then I'm trying to load Watch Core System Manager. It won't open. Okay. You know, do the whole uninstall, reboot, reinstall. No, that doesn't solve anything. Once these apps stop working, they stop working. And this is what happened my first time that I had Windows 10. It happened to so many programs, I just had to wipe it and go back to Windows 7. Because last time it happened to ConnectWise, which is our main ticketing system, and it happened to a few other apps. I think it happened to Word. It just things. Have you ever seen that? It just won't load. Just no, it doesn't respond.
I don't use Windows 10, so I don't know.
Martin.
I'm thinking.
Do you use Windows 10? It was on your main computer. Not on purpose. I'm sorry, Linux, probably.
This one that I'm talking to you on, yes. This one up here is a Windows 10 machine.
But how often do you use it?
What, Windows 10?
Yeah.
Oh, it streams Netflix. Great.
Okay. that's good. So, this is my main office computer. I'm on it all day long, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And
well, that's not all day.
I know. I usually do less than half a day work. I'm going to work half a day today, you know, just 12 hours.
All right.
So, this happened to me twice. And this is two different computers. Clean install of Windows 10, because I went to Windows 10 on my first notebook. It was a clean install. This one was an upgrade, and it still does. It just stopped working. Programs just don't respond. So, I went back to Windows 7. Of course, since I know I'm going back, I can back up everything I need to back up, and I didn't lose all my stuff like I did in the flood. But nothing was mission critical. All that's backed up. But my desktop stuff is there for convenience, right? Not necessity. So I was able to back everything up, going Windows 7. I've been on Windows 7 now all day today and yesterday, actually. Not once did I get the lockup. So it is something with that ZBook and that SSD drive running on Windows 10. And HP is aware of it because I found it on HP support site, which was very annoying. So now I'm back on Windows 7, and I miss things like scrolling without having to click on the window. I think I missed that the most.
I remember an app for that.
But
I know that's not what you wanted to do.
Yeah. I just don't... I wanted to use Windows 10, but with those, with the lockups and my programs just not running, it makes it kind of hard to use.
Cat Mouse. KATMOUSE.
Cat Mouse, that's the name of the app? Or is that the site?
No, it's the name of the app.
Cat Mouse. What sort of crazy Linux thing is this?
I'm just saying, all it does is it allows you to scroll without clicking on the window like in Windows 10 and Linux.
And where do you find this?
Where do I find this?
On Linux.com.
I've been...
Petfinder.com. iPad game for cats.com.
You got to remember, I worked in education for many, many, many years, and people had... I actually had a network administrator chuck a laptop because he couldn't figure this out. He was so frustrated because he came from Linux. He'd have to go over to Windows to do something, and he'd get all frustrated. So we have to find... He would just stand up out of his cubicle, get all mad, and yell at everybody else, "Fix this for me!" So I'd walk over to
specify, it's cat with a K, right?
That's what I'm guessing. KATMOUSE.
You didn't say that before, right?
I did. Let's rewind the tape.
I'm going to go back. Cause I don't remember you saying that. Because when I search CAT, no. I get... nothing related to scrolling applications.
There you go. I put it. It's.
You got a house in Nevada, didn't you?
I get pet. No, I got petfinder.com. I got apps for cats. KitKat software.
Oh, KitKat needs software.
At least that's the registry key. It's one of the registry keys it adds. KitKat soft. At least I'm looking at the right thing, which I might not be. I'm not going to install that. I mean, some people might like it, but I'm just going to have to get used to clicking. And then, ConnectWise wouldn't work. Oh, that's another thing. I take it home a couple nights ago, and I reload it here at my house so I can do all the updates. I bring it back to the office, put it in the dock, and I load ConnectWise. ConnectWise loads, and it goes open, just a black screen. It's just a black screen. I can see the tabs in ConnectWise, but all screens are black.
What's wrong with that? It's a Linux screen.
Yeah. Well, a pretty easy day. There's nothing there. I'm like, oh my goodness. So ConnectWise has this checklist of things to change. But what I've found is that's only for like tickets to print correctly If you're not printing tickets, you don't necessarily make those changes. I'm doing all the changes, uninstall, reinstall. None of it works. So 101 troubleshooting with notebooks and docs. What do? You take it out of the dock and test it, right? I take it out of the dock. ConnectWise loads fine. I redock it. The ConnectWise screen goes black. Just the inside of the application, not the whole desktop, just that application goes black. So apparently the version of ConnectWise I'm on does not like my dock.
With the computer out of the dock, does it perform better?
It works. I can see it.
Well, I mean, but with Windows 10. I was curious if it was a docking thing.
No, because I was using it in the dock on Windows 10.
Oh, okay.
And all the other programs were working, right?
Everything else works fine. But ConnectWise did not like the dock. My dock. I looked for, I've got the latest firmware, all that stuff from my dock, all that's updated. But it does not work in the dock.
Sounds like a matrix problem.
Yeah. So we have a terminal server. So I had to have one of my three monitors be my terminal server session with ConnectWise running in that for now. But it's always something. I thought maybe I should go back to Windows 10 and just wait 6 months until it stops working, then I can reload it again. But that's a pain, too.
All right, Matt, you're bringing us down. I thought there was going to be a happy ending here.
Well, at least I can work now.
Okay, there you go. What is that, Vandal?
Just so I'm not crazy, so click on that. That's the screenshot from OpenManage.
Why am I clicking on it?
Just click on my picture.
I see your picture.
I can see it.
Well, that's what it says, Virtual Disk 0 and 1, RAID 10.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, can we go to physical? Can we go to physical disk? I want to see physical disk.
Well, now I got to stop sharing my screen with you.
Oh, that was just you.
Yeah, good grief, I scared myself. I totally scared myself, too. What the? Intruder! All right, I got to go to Windows 10.
All this Windows 10 stuff, jeez.
Well, this is...
So you don't use Windows 10, Marvin? What do you use? Don't say Linux.
Windows Mac. Windows 7. All day, baby.
I mean, so one reason I wanted to go to Windows 10 is just to become familiar with it, and I'm very familiar with it. I can easily help somebody, but that's not my concern now. It's just the pain to reload my computer.
Yeah, I have decided that at some point this year I will buy a notebook with Windows 10 pre-installed, and that'll become my computer that I carry around and toy with and play with and do stuff. And then at some point next year, I'm sure I'll have to start deploying Windows 10 in my customers' locations. I may actually be doing it earlier this year if I've got two big clients that have to finally upgrade their case management software, so maybe I'll be doing it earlier, but none of my clients.
Okay, Martin, so what you're showing me is disk management, but where's the physical disk view and the RAID management software?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't got there yet. Probably need to load that software.
But here's the thing. That screen you showed us says that it's a Dell, that it's a virtual manager. So is that... You're going to have to physically take those disks out to see if they're actually...
Yeah, that's what I haven't done, is actually physically take the disks out to check and see what they are. And I know,
because what if they're RAID 1 drives that they've done a 0? Well, they still can't do a 10, though.
I don't know. I got to make sure I just get this thing backed up, because I think at some point it's going to explode again.
All right. So Mob, Datto, or something else?
Right. I have quotes out, and I'm getting those done. I have a lawyer as well, and I sent him a quote for some Datto as well.
Did you see that the managed online backup can now do notifications for backup to clients?
I assume you're asking me.
They can send backup reports to your clients.
Well, when did they start that? My customer was asking for it.
A few weeks ago. I've been forgetting to mention it.
I'll tell them in a couple of weeks.
You can say I've been working night and day to get these reports set up, and I've got it.
I got 3 weeks to the end of the month, so I'm good.
Yeah, so the mob can send reports. You can set reports to go to them when they run, or nightly, or whatever.
Well, that's good, because I was waiting until the end of the month when I sent them their invoice, and I would go in and create a report and just send them the little screen that showed that they backed up at the end of the month.
Well, look, see? I just saved you. Now you don't need to do that. Just
beautiful.
Send the report every day.
I kind of forget about the mob backup. I should listen to that more.
Saves me 5 minutes. So I you know, I thought I had a great story, but compared to what you guys just did, I got nothing.
Hey, no story is not. There's no ungreat stories.
Although I do have an ID10T thing. So last summer, I sent up a computer to a user that works remotely for one of my clients because the office did not want her using her personal computer to do business work. This is a medical center, and they're trying to be HIPAA compliant. So we sent them a business computer. We could set that up, and then she would have her personal computer, and everything would be separated. So I have a tech go there, set up the new computer, get her stuff transferred off the personal computer that she needed, and get everything set up so that she's got a KVM switch, she's got a home computer, business computer, she can go back and forth. She had a multifunction fax that we set up with one of those automatic USB ports so that she could print from both computers. And they're using a voice over IP system that she had to have one of the ATA devices for sending and receiving faxes. So somewhere along the line, and I don't know if it was before the tech showed up or after the tech left, she could not receive faxes or send out. So we do our troubleshooting, and we get the company on the line, and they tell her, well, that device is bad. We'll get you out another one. So they send out the new device. She plugs everything in. She plugs all of the cables in exactly the same way on the new device as they were on the old device. Still doesn't work. This is the type of customer that I just enjoy talking to on the phone so much that I didn't want to call her for 6 months. So
I was waiting for the punchline.
So I finally called her back yesterday. And I say, okay, let's go through this again. Now, first of all, I'm actually shocked that she hadn't called back screaming that she can't send and receive faxes because she's supposed to be doing this for the business. And I'm sure the business has been yelling at her saying, why can't you send and receive faxes? So bottom line is I finally get her on the phone and we talk and I'm telling her, okay, describe for me how everything is set up. She said, well, it's all set up in the exact same way on the new box as it was on the old box. And I said, okay, tell me exactly where the cables are. And the first thing she tells me is, so the phone line coming from the fax machine is going into a place that says something like ESP, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I have no idea what that is. Go to the next one. And she goes, so there's an empty spot called line, and then there's a spot that says network and a spot that says internet. And I said, so take the phone line out of that thing that says ESP and put it in the line. I'm going to send you a fax. Oh my God, it's working. So I just basically said, we could have fixed this 6 months ago. Now send me my $300. And go sit in the ID10T corner.
With a stack of fax papers and read them over.
I was so mad.
Well, but didn't you say there was a tech on site at some point?
Yeah. I was mad at him, too. I just couldn't take it out on him.
Wait, were you the tech that was on site at some point?
No, this is in Carolina.
Oh, well, maybe you travel like
some
me.
Some hick town in Carolina that I had to... It took me like 2 days to find a tech that would go on site up there who didn't speak hillbilly.
Sorry to all our listeners.
I finally had to say, look, I lived
North Carolina.
I lived in Wake Forest for 3 years, so I'm familiar with Carolina. Oh well, all right. So, how do you like our pulled pork?
There is nothing wrong with pulled pork.
No, there isn't.
I've
done the pulled pork.
I will walk away.
I've done the pig roast. I have done a lot of Carolina things. You saw me drinking my sweet tea earlier.
I did see you.
I do like my pork pulled.
That's the title of the show.
Can you pull my pork?
Matt's pulled pork.
Oh my.
Wait, when are we editing this again?
What are we what?
Do not use the E word around here. I'm sending it right now.
And Matt, we don't have like, show titles, by the way.
It's the two that I missed, I didn't have show titles.
Matt, you gotta just make something up.
Well, Dora made them up. It was show without a title one and show without a title two. Matt's pulled pork. Done. Control S. Oh.
I like my pork pulled. Is that what
no, I didn't say that. I said Matt's pulled pork. Speaking of control S, I had a client call me today. This company will not reboot computers, and they choose not to reboot any Windows machines at all ever. So
don't give them a choice.
Well, exactly. So in talking with the owner of the company and the business manager, the consensus was about a year ago that we're going to create a group policy. And the group policy is that every Wednesday morning, the computers will reboot. Why Wednesday morning is because this company runs 24, well, they run 7 days a week. It's a veterinary clinic. And when you reboot the server, you have to reboot the computers. Like the management software is weird. Anyways, so that's that. So I get in, she calls me this morning and says she was working on an Excel document that she wants to know if she can get it back. And I said, well, I said, the computer's been rebooted. And she goes, well, usually what happens is I open up Excel and it's right there. It says temporary files or, you know, would you like to recover? I said, well, yeah, but now we've rebooted and I have a feeling that it deleted those temp files, that your recovery files. And she says, well, this is really frustrating because I worked on this program, this Excel document, for 6 hours yesterday and I lost it. And my next question was, did at any time in those 6 hours you save it? And she says, I meant to, but I kept getting distracted and I walked away. Left the document open, never closed Excel, because then it would have prompted her to save it. Walked away, went home, the computer rebooted.
Yeah, live and learn.
So
yeah, she'll never do that again.
Well, here's what she wants me to do. She wants me to pull her computer out of that group policy so her computer never reboots.
Nope, sorry.
No, can't do it.
You're a part of a society here in this business.
You're part of the collective.
Yeah.
We can't remove you without removing everyone.
So, 6 hours. 6 hours never saved a Word document.
That's happened. I have a lot of people at law firms that's how they are. They just, you know, they'll work on stuff, keep it open so they can come back tomorrow and get right back to it. And I'm like, you know what? Can't do that. So I've got one law firm that we reboot every single night. And I tell them that, listen, we've got to do that in order to get your updates done properly, get your virus scanning done, because they don't want scans done, you know, at any point during the day if anybody can be there. So I'm like, okay, then it's all going to be done at night, and we're going to do it every night because we don't know when updates are coming. If we change, you know, scripts or anything like that, they'll all be applied. And it took about a week for people to realize, oh, he's serious. We better save our stuff before we leave.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to email the owner of the company because she's the business manager. I'm going to email the owner of the company and say, here's what's going on, just in case you hear her. She's
reporting that she doesn't want her computer rebooted.
She's a little needy. She's very nice, but needy. So,
Did I tell you all my battery backup story? Did I go over that last week?
Was that the 9-volt?
No. I don't know what you mean, but no.
I was just quizzing you. I was hoping it was maybe just, you know, bring back.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you this story. This is a funny story from a customer. The customer calls me and she says, "I need a battery backup." And I know this customer has no battery backups on their workstations, even though for years and years I've been telling them they need them. And I say, "Yes, I know you do. I've been telling you this for years." I said, "Why now do you think you need one? Just curious." She says, "Well, I was working in business works. And we had a power outage, and I lost everything I was working on. So I called Business Works Support, and I told them what happened. And the first thing they said was, well, do you have your battery backup? And I said, no. And she says, well, you need one. So I need one. I said, okay, first, I've been telling you for years that you need one. So why now you're listening to the Business Works Support person over me, I don't know. But it's fine. As long as you get one for their computers, I'm fine. I don't care who you listen to. I'm just glad you know you need them now. And so, no, I just need one. I said, okay, you have 5 computers over there. Why do you just need one? Well, I'm the one who's important. I said, okay. So, do the other four computers, are they used by people? And I know they are. She says, well, yeah, they use them all day long. I said, but they're not important. She goes, no, I'm the one who's working all day. I said, so if their computers go out, we're just not going to replace them? Oh, they need their computers. Okay, so you don't want to protect the computers with a battery backup. No, I just want to protect mine. I said, okay, I'm not sure why you think you need one, but okay. And she said, how much are they? And I think the ones we have are like 75 or something. And we use APC. And I told her 75. And she says, 75? He goes, you know you're probably paying $30 for those, and you're just marking them up to 75. And I said, okay, well, one, I don't know how you do markups in your industry. We cannot afford to do 100%+ markup on hardware. So no, we don't get them for $30. We mark up 8-10%. So if you buy one for 75, I might make $7. And she says, then she says, well, I should be able to get 5 for $75. I said, okay, so now you're thinking they're $15 a piece? Your cost? I said, well, you're really going down here. So if you think I pay 30 and you want them for 15, I'm not sure how you think that's going to work.
Amazon Prime.
And I said, look, I don't care where you get them from. Ours are 75. I can see the model number that we recommend, and you can go buy them wherever you want. I said, well, what I don't want you to do is buy the cheapest one you find at Office Depot, because I've had clients buy those, and they fry their computers, they start smoking and catching on fire. I said, that's not what you want. So, and she didn't tell me to bring one out, so I'm assuming she's going to go buy the cheapest one she can.
The problem with getting the cheapest one is that a lot of times they don't have the monitoring software that will shut down your computer gracefully.
Oh, no, she doesn't want that. Oh,
yeah, I mean, that's...
That's high tech.
You're talking
high-tech
all fancy now.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my Portland coming
now,
up.
Now, this is also the client who a long time told me they bought all their stuff from us, but they might need one computer every 4 or 5 years. Last time they bought a computer, one computer. She told me, and she's not joking. She says, oh, y'all should throw a crawfish boil for my company since we buy so much stuff from y'all. I said, that's a good one. She said, no, I'm serious. I know. I said, that's what makes it so funny. I said, you know, I'm only making like $30 or $40, you know, dollars on the computer.
I can't even eat out Red Lobster after I sell you a computer, ma'am.
I said, maybe if you bought 100 computers a year, we could talk about it. But I said, if we had a crawfish boil for every customer that spent $1,000 with us every 5 years, we wouldn't be doing computer work much longer. But that's the kind of stuff she does. She's serious. She is serious. And she didn't tell me what her markup is on her product. But I, when I told her, I'm not sure how you do markup in your industry. If you can get 100%+ markup, that's great. I'm so glad you are. But that just means you can afford to pay our 8% markup for a battery backup.
She doesn't work for like Epson or HP Inc. or any of those companies, no. Right? Okay. Well, that would be your 100% markup. I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff, you know, Marvin, when you say you don't want to talk to them. And when I see the voicemail, when I see caller ID with that company, I'm like, oh, my God.
Get the crawfish boil gone.
Yeah, but if it comes once every 4 years, I mean.
No, that's how much they buy stuff from us. They call with other stuff more frequently with her.
So they're okay with paying the labor. They just don't want you making any money on the hardware.
She's not. Because this is also the same person who one time I had to go over there because she said the sound didn't work. And I'm sure I've talked about this particular story. They called so the sound wasn't working on the front reception computer.
Because of what? The printer?
And I said, well, are the cables plugged in? Have you checked to make sure the speakers are plugged in, right? So there's a power cable from the speakers that goes to the power plug. Then there's a cable that goes to the back of the computer. Have you checked those? Yeah, they're all plugged in. I said, okay. Well, do you want me to come on site and look at this? It's just the sound, and all you're doing is playing solitaire. I said, do you want me to come out there? Oh, yeah, we need our sound to work. Okay. I'm not sure what you need the sound to work for, but the way their office is situated, I can see the receptionist computer before I even get in the building, like at the door. I can look in and see it. And from outside, I can see the audio cable unplugged. I walked in, plugged it in. I said, try sound now. Oh, it works now. You're not going to bill me for that, are you? I said, well, look, I troubleshoot on the phone with you for 15, 20 minutes. I had to drive all the way over here. Yes, you're going to get billed my hour minimum. Oh, wow. I'm going to keep you here. I'm going to keep you here for another 45 minutes because I said, okay, well, don't forget that includes driving time. So I'm counting the time, the start of the phone call till now, you're already at 45 minutes. So if you want to keep me 45 minutes, that's fine, but you'd be at 2 hours. Oh, no, go.
I think what she said, you want a treasure for that? You say, throw me a crawfish ball, we'll call it even. Throw my company one of them, we'll call it even.
Look, they are, you would think that they had no money. They pay their bills, so I don't know which, but she likes to complain about bills and cost.
Okay. I've had clients like that. I think we've all been there.
But she's pretty funny about it. Yeah. Telling me that, you know you're getting that for $30? I'm not getting that for $30.
29, ma'am, 29.
Oh. Yeah, that's my battery backup story. They're a pretty funny client.
I do like the clients that say, well, you have an hour minimum, right? Yeah. You come there and do a simple thing, and they say, well, since you're here, I gotta find something else for you to do. All right.
Yeah, that's fine, but don't forget I include driving time, so it's still 15 minutes back to my office, so not this one. They're like, oh. So sorry. You could bring the computer to me, and then I can see why the sound doesn't work. I don't want to do all that. Right, that's why we charge driving time, because you don't want to drive to my office, but I got to drive to yours.
Yeah, but you know that she would drive there, you'd fix it, but then she'd drive back. Forget
it wouldn't connect it, right?
Wouldn't connect the speaker, so you'd still have to come back out.
Oh, yeah.
And then
she'd
be
like,
well, I already paid you to fix it. Why do I have to pay you again?
Well, this is because you didn't hook it up this right. This is a separate issue. New ticket.
That's right. You paid me to verify the sound was working. And done.
Verify.
And I can see their security suite for their watch guard expires in 2 weeks. That's going to be a fight to get them to renew that. Every year we go through them renewing theirs, and every year she says, I don't need that. We haven't been affected in years. That's because we have the security suite. I said, let's look at the order. Let's look at the tickets before you had that. You were calling every month with something. And every year we go to the same thing. You cannot pay it, but then you're going to pay me and have downtime. Every year we do this with them. Every year. It's fun. A nice game we play. The dance.
Well, people buy insurance, right? We buy medical insurance because we know at some point we're going to get sick, but people are so objected to buy, antivirus or any kind of security suite because, well, why? I haven't been affected yet, so why should I buy that? Well, yeah, so I haven't been hit by a bus, but yet you have insurance just in case you are.
Bus insurance. Anti-bus insurance.
Because
that's
the one
an extra
time,
rider.
That's right. Because the one time... You do get hit by a bus, you're going to be glad you have that bus insurance.
Well, not if you're dead.
Well, that's a different insurance.
Someone will be glad.
Somebody's happy.
Somebody's getting paid.
So, another short story. I had a client call me, and they've been calling me for a year saying that they need me to reload Windows on their computer, on their home computer.
For years?
For a year. Probably a year.
Oh, 1 year. Okay.
And so, every 90, few
95
months...
SE.
Every few months, he'll call and say, hey, when you get that done? I said, well, I'm waiting on you. When do you want to do it? So finally today, he calls and he says, hey, can I just do it myself? Yeah. He said, is it hard? I said, no. You got the recovery CDs? Yes. Is it an HP? Yes. Okay, you might not even need them. When your computer boots up, press the escape key, go to F11 recovery, and it should recover your computer back the way it was. He says, oh, okay, that's pretty easy. Well, when can you do it? I said, well, you want me to do it? Because you just said you wanted to do it. Yeah, I want you to do it. When can you do it? I said, okay, well, we can. If you want to bring it to us, you can bring it to me, or we can pick it up around the area. He says, so wait, all I have to do is press escape and then F11? He says, I think I can do that. I said, yeah, I think you can too. It's just a couple of buttons. I think you can do it. You can do it. So we're talking. He says, okay, well, yeah, I can do that myself. I said, great, let me know if you have any trouble. And he says, okay, well, when should I bring it to you? I said, well... I said, why are you going to bring it to me? Well, so you can reload Windows. I said, well, I'm really confused now.
Is this a Groundhog Day
story? We've been on the phone
story.
For 15 minutes, and twice you said you're going to do it yourself. I said, I'm just going to ask you one question. Who's going to reload Windows, me or you?
First?
I don't want any extra answers. Oh, well, you can do it. That's why I called. I said, oh, my God. Okay. Okay, then bring it to me. I will do it.
What do I do to do it again?
This is the same person that had to do a VPN. Because they were getting hammered with connections, and I sent them detailed instructions, and they can't follow them. He said, I put that number in that 192 number in the VPN software. I said, no, you don't put that. You put that in the RDP connection. Read the directions. Let's go through and read them together. It says, in the VPN client software, connect to this server. Oh, I misread that. Yes, I know. Because he don't put the 192 number in the VPN client software. He says, so if I put the right number, it should work? Yes, if you follow directions, it should work.
Got it. 192 number in the VPN software.
And he said, well, I tried everything. I put a different username. Why would you use a different username? Your username is your username. Why would you try a different username? Just use the right number. You tried everything but following directions. Nothing else works.
Well, put the lime in the coconut.
And he said, well, can you do this? Yes, I can do this. What computer is this? The one we're going to reload Windows. I said, okay, well, then we'll just do it when we reload Windows.
That's awesome.
When are you going to do it?
I'll probably pick it up tomorrow because we're going to be in the area.
You know that he's hitting F12 and F11 and reloading it right now, right?
I hope he is. He might. He might. I might go over there tomorrow and it's all done. He said, no, I told you I was doing it. Oh, yeah, you did, technically. But you also told me I was going to do it.
Who's on first?
Oh, that's...
But you got to love them.
Customers.
I don't mind. They're funny. It's so many people can't find... Oh, another one, the VPN. Golly, this is my ID10T people. I sent them directions. And I start off these directions by saying... Follow these instructions on the computer you are connecting from while you're out of the office.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I just got lost. I got to go out of the office now?
Wait, are you going to follow the instructions or am I going to follow the instructions?
Huh?
Are you going to follow the instructions or am I going to follow the instructions?
Yeah. That's what I tell them. So if you're at home, you're going to follow these instructions at home on the home computer. And in fact, in these directions, I put all changes on the office side are done. The router's set up. Your computers are done. Just follow these instructions on your home computer.
Did you write go home as the first line?
One, leave office. So I get a call on saying, hey, can you come to the office and set up these connections for the remote VPN? I said, yeah, I can install the client. I can't really test it when you're in the office because you're in the office. You can't connect to the VPN unless you're out of the office. And they said, okay, well, I said, you're going to bring the computers to the office? And she said, they're at the office. I said, you brought your home computer to the office? No, my home computer's at home. Okay, but why do you want me to go to the office? She said, so you can set up our computers to remote in. I said, I'm confused. Did you read the directions? It says you have to do this from the remote computer. We need to do it from your home computer. Oh, I didn't read that far. I said, well, it's the first line. So, anyway, these people can't follow directions. I don't know if it's just because they get lost because it's a computer issue and they just don't want to read it. But
when are you going to do it?
I don't. They might not call me for 6 months because they usually forget. And then when they try and connect on a Friday night, they can't connect, and I get a voicemail saying, hey, we can't connect to our remote computer. Can you check the connection? Yes, I can. Did you connect the VPN? The what?
Did you leave the office?
And I made such detailed notes, and they can't follow them. Why do I waste my time? I should just type gibberish and see if they call me.
Maybe if you do that, they'll get it right.
And the last line says, if you have any trouble, please call me from the computer you are connecting from, and I can assist you. And then when they do call me, oh, I'm not at home. Okay.
Okay, Matt. We'll go home and they can't read the first line. How do you expect them to get to the last line? I know,
the last one. Yeah. Got to read all 10 or 12 sentences. It's because we do this VPN. I had to do two a day. I did two more companies today. And this company didn't call me about that. I just was in their router, and I thought, you know what? While I'm in the router, they have RDP connections. I'm gonna see if they're getting hit. And, of course, they were. So
I think you should try to write these as children books with pictures and animals and, you know, something interactive so that they actually have to hit something to go to the next line, and then they get excited, you know, every time.
A quiz.
Yes.
Will you do this from A, home, B, office? Another client was getting hammered, and I called him and told him what's happening. He says, well, don't make any changes right now. I said, okay, so you want me to leave the RDP connections enabled in the router? Because you're getting hundreds of attempts.
Are you,
just so you know.
Are you clicking a pin?
No.
Obando, where'd you go?
He said, be right back. And now that he's not sitting in his chair, I can see all of his Star Wars toys.
Oh, yes.
Still in the boxes behind him.
What? In the boxes?
He's got a stormtrooper there. And it looks like he's got the girl from Rogue One.
Oh, that's a Madagascar penguin up top, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm talking at the bottom.
Oh, Martin, can you slide to your left?
Slide to the left. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the Rogue One on the left?
At the bottom?
Yeah.
Well, that stormtrooper is from... That looks like a...
That's Rogue One. That's Rogue One
stuff.
The
Empire Strikes Back.
I think that's... we get the close-up. Yeah, Rogue One.
Oh,
only
at
target.
Yeah. Up to the mic.
Yep. Oh, it's a whole bunch of them.
Oh.
You've got Darth Vader.
Only at... Oh, that says target.
Yeah, only at target. That's good. It's good audio podcast, too.
It is. So what they're making fun of is my wife got me this... Rogue One kind of set, and it has Darth Vader, Stormtrooper, like all the main characters from Rogue One are here.
But they're not really height appropriate, right? Because isn't Darth looks kind of short in there?
Well, they're all the same height.
Did you?
But they're not really all the same
height. Is that the last movie that just came out, the Rogue
yes.
One?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you?
But see, there's an app. There's an app you can put on your phone, and you can
blow
up things. Oh,
well, now it's computer related.
And
you
can play with your toys on the app.
Right. So when I got that, so I have a bucket of... Okay. Here's my geeky side. I have a bucket of Star Wars memorabilia in the garage, like tubs of Star Wars that haven't even been opened yet. So
is that why you have to go early tonight?
I have to go play with my toys. Hey, I wouldn't be talking there. Pulled pork, man. Anyway, she asked me if I was going to open it, and I said, I don't know. Like, what am I going to... Is there a fly in your house, Matt? Matt's looking up aimlessly.
I got one Star Wars thing up there.
Oh.
Oh. I have zero.
Well, in the box. And it's from The Force Awakens. But I do have my Yoda.
Which movie is that?
And I got... I wish people could see this. I do have my Darth Vader.
Holding a screw?
Yeah. He's holding a screw. I had a screw loose over here, and I didn't have a lightsaber for him, so he's holding his hand like he's holding a death grip, but I just gave him a screw to hold. He's like, I will screw you.
It's a big screw, too.
Yeah, it's a big screw.
It's abnormally large for his hands.
Yeah, he's got to have pretty much a whole open hand to hold it.
He's just palming a screw.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know if we can keep this. Please stay PG-13, gentlemen.
Oh, no.
All right. It's an actual screw. I was hanging pictures, and I had one left over.
How big are your pictures?
What kind of picture are you hanging with that screw?
It's a concrete bolt. Is that what that's
a
what that is?
Is what that is.
What kind of picture would use a screw like that?
All right.
It's one of those anchor screws. You know, in case you hit a stud, it self anchors.
Right. I've just put aside all my computer notes because obviously we are not focused tonight.
Well, and it's time for me to go. It's my bedtime.
I know what you're going to do. You're going to the garage.
Are you going to take your Winnie the Pooh and get out of there?
The way you sit, the Winnie the Pooh is like right on top of your head.
It's like a Christmas tree ornament on top of your head.
It lines up perfectly.
Boop. Screw you both. There it is. I just... Video gone.
Well, don't take your Rogue One toys and go home.
I'm taking my Darth Tater. I got a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff up there.
Yeah, that's what we were noticing before you came back in and blocked the view.
I got some Star Wars stuff here.
I don't even know what those are.
Those are X-Wings and a...
It's the Snowspeeder.
Yeah, Snowspeeder.
And an X-Wing.
All right.
They were on my cake for my 40th birthday party, which my wife threw me a Star Wars themed 40th birthday party. All
right, and you guys were making fun of me for knowing Star Trek trivia. You guys freaking got the
Star Trek
museum
trivia
of Star Wars stuff at your houses. Where's your?
I know Star Trek. Hey, you know what I found?
Where's your
the other
Halloween
day?
Costume? Start pulling that stuff out.
You know what I? My Indiana Jones bag.
No.
Do you know what I found the other day? I was going through stuff in my little box here. I found the autographed Michael Dorn Worf picture I got from that Star Wars convention, Star Trek convention a long time ago.
The one you walked into in Hawaii?
Yeah. I didn't know I had that, but I have an autographed Michael Dorn Worf picture. I was like, what? I don't remember that at all.
Wait, you haven't hung that up?
That's what the screw is for.
Dude, you have a screw right there. Do it.
I don't want to put a screw through Michael Dorn. So it's not in the frame. It's just a picture.
He can handle it. He couldn't be defeated by the Jem'Hadar.
So that's it. We're looking at a Millennium Falcon picture and an R2-D2 picture on the wall here.
They're like those prints that are on dictionary paper. My son's printing out.
Right this minute he's printing out?
Yeah, it just came out of the fresh off the presses.
Uh-oh. It might be private.
It's about Razor. Oh, yeah. This is one of his classes that drives me nuts anyway.
Last tip to get back to computer stuff. I know. I hate that. But we got to give some computer stuff, right?
Okay.
Okay. All right.
My tip, especially on computers joining a domain, customers buy computers from us, I prep them, I do all the updates, I get rid of all the junk on it. And before I give it to the customer, if it's not joined to domain, always delete the old system restore points, create one restore point. And when I'm setting a computer up for a new user or a new computer on domain, I join the domain, get everything right, delete all restore points, and leave one. Do you know how many times before I did this, clients would call and say, I can't log in? Because they decided that the user, for whatever reason, did a system restore back to before I joined the domain. And now I'm going to go rejoin it. So now, I always, the last thing I do before I walk away, delete system restore points and create one restore point. That's the furthest that they can go back, is the point that I left. That's my tip.
All right. Matt's pulled pork tip of the week.
Do y'all do that? Because you should.
That makes me nervous because of that one restore point. So I would always have two. I'd probably have one before the domain and one after the domain.
Oh.
No.
Because when they're going to restore back to that one before the domain.
Yeah, because they always want to go back as far as they can. So
yeah.
Anything before the domain, get rid of it.
Apparently your clients like to go back in time. Mine like to live in the present.
Mine, a lot. I've had it happen so many times that's what I do now. Every computer I touch. For new builds, I don't necessarily do it if I'm just working on it to work on it. But new builds, new PCs, I'm doing that. So the only one they get is when I'm done with it. After they can screw up all they want, and they can go back to when I handed it to them as far back as they can. That's as far back as I let them go.
I used to,
because they'll do restore and Office won't be there or something.
Right. I used to disable system restore so that they couldn't go back, because if the system was that bad, we would just, all their stuff would be on the network, or we'd have a backup, so we'd just rebuild the system and go over. I wouldn't even let them have system restore.
Well, I'll let them have it, just limited. Yeah. But that's happened a lot of times. So I always do that, personally.
So I want to go back and reference a previous episode and just remind people that we do have good, relevant stuff that we talk about. In episode 94... one of the no-named episodes, we talked about reverse DNS and how it's important to have one. So I just wanted to let you know that yesterday I was speaking to a customer who actually had called me for a completely different issue. But while we were on the phone fixing that issue, she let me know that she was on phone with their web provider who was trying to send them emails but kept getting bounced back. And she's like, well, I didn't think I needed to to bother you with this, but since you're on the phone, let me ask this guy if he needs your help. So she goes, takes the other call, comes back and says, okay, well, we figured it'd just be easier. I've been on the phone with him for an hour and we couldn't figure it out. So they had been on the phone, sending test messages, trying to figure stuff out. And so I asked him, I said, well, tell me what the issue is. And he goes, well, we're getting bounce back messages. And oh, no, they weren't getting the messages. She just wasn't getting the mail delivered. They weren't getting the undeliverable messages. So I said, okay, so first thing is send a test to me. Here's my email address. And tell me what your email address is that you're sending from. So I look it up in mxtoolbox.com. And what do you know? The top three checks under the SMTP test, the SMTP banner check, the SMTP reverse DNS mismatch, and the SMTP valid hostname, all wrong, all not working. I said, oh, well, you've got to fix that. And he's like, oh, I didn't realize that. I said, have your web guy, have your mail server guy or whoever check it out and fix it. So just so you know that mxtoolbox.com and reverse DNS entries, good thing to check.
What did they spend an hour doing?
Sending emails to see if she got them.
How about this one?
No. Now?
And it was like, now? She's like, well, I would get one out of like every five or six that he sent.
Just have him CCU five times.
I said, there you go.
So why would one every five? Is it going through different mail servers that they were let through?
I don't know. I just, well, actually, I have a partial thought. The domain that they have is actually not really, how do I explain this? You know how some people will get a domain from Yahoo or Google, and when you do a test on their MX records, it doesn't come back to their name. They come back with, you know, eight Google servers, and none of them will say the domain. So I suspect that that was part of the issue, is that they just simply had just registered the domain with Google and were using Google Mail services instead of, because when I did a check for their stuff, they didn't even have an MX record that was their domain, .com.
Hmm.
Which.
Interesting. They should be.
They should be.
How would they? They wouldn't be able to receive mail at all without an MX record.
Let's see.
It's Google.
Yeah, here it is. Their, yeah,
Google
their
knows
domain,
everything. It knows where to go.
When you do a check at the n2dns.com, their MX records are reported, and every single one of them is something at something.google.com.
Yeah, that's common for posted on Gmail.
Even I'm looking at, okay, so their web A record is correct. But where's the other? There's another record for their MX. Okay, here it is. All their reverse MX records, 1e100.net, I don't know, whatever. But there's nothing on this page. There's nothing on this page that points to their domain.com.
Do you think they have a different name server?
They must. Well, their name server, well, it's AWS DNS is where their NS records are. Their name server records are at AWS DNS. So who is that? Is that
Amazon?
That's Amazon.
Yeah.
So they bought their... Wait, somebody messed up something in their DNS.
So they're probably running Azure, and all their DNS records are there, but yet they bought their... They're hosting their stuff at Google.
Typical setup where they don't know what they're doing, and they don't know where to create their DNS records, and they don't know...
Right.
What records to create. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, here it is. Beautiful. Their A record is www.domainname.com. And then it goes domain name, a bunch of numbers, us-east-1.edb.amazonnews.com. So I was like, just tell your male guy to fix it.
Or female.
Female. Or transgender. Let's not leave anybody out. All right, so I think we're going to have one big show note tonight.
At least we got a name, don't we?
It's too,
we
need, yes. Yeah, it's called Matt's Pulled Pork.
All right. So let's so Obando can go play with his Wookiee.
I think that's a better show title right there.
No, I'm totally changing it. Oh, good grief. Obando's Wookiee. Matt's pulled pork and Obando's Wookiee. I'm bringing you all down with me.
I don't know if anybody's listening by this point.
I know. Well, it's just us right now. We're recording this in the future.
Back to the future. All right. So let's start to...
Sorry. Yeah. What are you...
I was going to say, wrap this Wookiee up. That make no sense. All right. So.
We worked in a Star Wars term. That's all that counts.
I don't watch Star Wars, so that was the best.
Oh, my.
I remember the Wookiee and Princess Leia's cinnamon bun hairdo thingy. Ooh, whatever it is.
Right.
I don't watch Star Wars.
So, huh. All right. So any... anything interesting to say before we end off, gentlemen?
Well, you know, we're testing new phone systems. We'll talk about that next week. I did my open mesh webinar. Talk about hoping to get my free access point.
Oh,
so I'm gonna start testing
right.
those too.
That's,
so yeah. We'll have to talk about those a future show.
All right. Obando?
I got nothing.
You got a Wookiee?
I mean, enough has already been said.
Okay. All right, and I have a quote from our favorite forefather, Mr. Benjamin Franklin, wise men.
I was sure hoping it was Han Solo. Well, go ahead.
Hans, Booby, wise men. Okay.
Did you say Booby?
Yes, Hans Gruber from the first Die Hard.
I thought you said Booby.
Yes.
Never mind, just go on.
Yes, that is what I said.
Go play with your Wookiee.
Too late.
And pull your pork. All right. Take three. A quote from our favorite forefather, Benjamin Franklin. Wise men don't need advice. Fools won't take it. And with that, we thank you all. If you're still here, for listening to this episode of Podnuts Pro. And until next time, have a good night.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.